Morning. We are on a journey together this summer. This morning's message is called Waves. Waves. So how many of us this morning like the water? Yeah. So how many of us don't like the water? Yeah. How many of us have learned the hard way that water can be a beast, right? That's why you don't like the water. Some of you have learned that it can be both beautiful and a beast at the same time, right? I mean, it can be one of those things in which you just kind of like, really? I was about 4 or 5 years old when my family was at the American Legion across the lake, and my dad had a sailboat. In fact, our family had a sailboat, an 18-foot Rebel. They used to race it in Lake Michigan and different places. But we were in this boat. No, we were eating, and a storm kicked up. My dad said, look, we need to get in the boat and go across to the other side. So I remember hopping inside this 18-foot Rebel, and if you know anything about them, they have a little lip inside that you can crawl under, not like a sunfish. They don't have one, right? It's a little bit more, a little bit bigger, a little bit longer. You can crawl under inside. And I remember we had these, some of you probably still do, these orange life jackets that they strap on. So we strapped this thing on. And my dad said, we're going to head across the lake and get it to the dock where my family had a slip or a dock. And we didn't know. I mean, the storm looked bad, but we didn't realize how bad the storm was. Come to find out, my dad navigated us through a tornado. Now, I trust my dad. You know, like many of you trust your dad to navigate you through different things in life. It was probably the first experience that I had outside of just swimming in the lake that we had the boat at that really was kind of like had an impression. Obviously, I'm telling you about today only because the stories afterwards, we didn't realize how bad it was when we hopped in the boat and sailed across. Probably to date, though, the scariest story that I ever had is the one where buddies and I went surfing with our kayaks in Lake Superior. This just happened last year, in fact. It's one of the scariest things that ever happened. We were at the mouth of a river, and we were kind of waiting in progression to kind of launch out one at a time because we realized we've done this before, not in Superior, but in other places. And you ride the surf, and you can actually watch YouTube on this. Usually have a little different boat than we ride in. But so one guy goes out, comes back in. Another guy goes out, and he gets, oftentimes you get rolled right at the end before you get in because the waves catch you. But the third guy went out, and I'm still sitting in the mouth of the river kind of waiting for him to come in so I can go in, out. And his boat gets tossed over, like out. Like, so you want to break through if you're doing this, and I'll probably do it again, not in Superior, but I'll probably do it again. You want to break through the breakwaters that are coming over and get out so then you can straighten out your boat and then you can ride the waves in like you would a bodyboard or a surfboard. And my buddy flipped his boat as soon as he got out there. He grabbed onto the end of it and hung on and we're watching. He said it felt like forever. It really was not. But he hung on for dear life. Now, the incredible thing, the day before, we had just toured Pictured Rocks in kayaks all day long. It was the calmest they had ever seen all summer long, just a beautiful weather. So we were familiar with the lake. The water temperature was not cold where we were at because it wasn't churned up. So my buddy's out there hanging onto his kayak, right? And he's bobbing up and down. He never went under except for the initial under. But he's getting colder and he's getting, you know, when you get cold, your strength goes, you sap. We got him back in because we had to eventually go back out, not in boats, but we eventually kind of found our way out there and then finally grabbed him enough to pull him in. Literally, he came in and laid on the rocks of Lake Superior for about 30 minutes just curled up in a ball. And we're talking about somebody that's my age, a little bit older than I am, and he literally thought he was going to die. Scariest situation I had ever been in. Water is one of those things that just is an incredible thing. It can be wildly fun at times, right? I mean, we can just have a glorious time in it, but it can be also one of those things that's terrifyingly dangerous and life-threatening. Life's kind of the same way, isn't it? Life is almost similar to that in a lot of ways. We go through life and we're having a good time, we're laughing with our family, and then something, a rogue wave comes out of nowhere, right, and hits us. And it turns us upside down, and we have nothing more with us than one of these little things that they have imprinted. I think it says on here, not to be used, yeah. This is not a life-saving device. Do not leave a child unattended while device is in use. I mean, we are cruising along as if we're going down a river that's calm or with a current on something as flimsy as this, right? And that's the way I think life often is. I mean, I think that's kind of how, if we're not careful, we approach life as if, you know, yeah, we know that there are going to be bumps and bruises in life. We know that there are going to be these waves that are going to hit us, but they always hit the other person, right? I mean, they hit the person in the cubicle next to us in the office space. And so we have the opportunity to come in and serve and minister and pray for them, which is a great thing. They happen to the neighbor that's down the street, not me, right? So we have the opportunity to pray for them and serve them and minister and mow their lawn and do the very things that Jesus has called us to do. But we don't think that they're going to happen to us. And so we go through life oftentimes using, you know, a two-year-old's life, you know, fun raft, when we really need to be equipped with a vest that will save your life. But this is what I've come to find out, is that until we're in a crisis situation, we will not put on a vest. We will not learn the very devices of life that will teach us how to navigate life. Yeah, this is one I wear. You could ask Kathy about her story a little bit later. She has her own story. This is what I wear all the time when I kayak. In little water and big water. In little water and big water. But I think our faith, when we think about our faith, I think that we often think about our faith as, you know, Jesus is always going to be with me. I don't need to have the reinforced, informed, tested life jacket of life. I just don't think we do. And so then we come up to these crisis points where waves hit us and we're not prepared. We're not prepared. Let me just define for you what a wave is. A wave is where fear and faith meet. My buddy was fear-filled, hanging on to his kayak, going up and down. Sometimes we didn't even see him. He would just, that's how big the waves were that we were playing in. Waves are where faith and fear meet. What are those waves for you? When you get a call from the doctor that you have cancer or your cancer's back? When you find out you've lost your baby again? When you find out that you need surgery that you have just been dreading? When you get the sheet of paper or a call to tell you your services are not needed anymore? Sorry, we appreciate you, but you're not needed. When a family member makes a lifestyle choice contrary to God's desire and the way you have raised them? When your spouse tells you he or she is leaving you because he or she does not love you anymore? When a family member's addictions becomes your reality, not theirs, but now it's yours? when you have multiple deaths in 1 week from a family who has just been barraged, and you begin to start to wear the burdens. I mean, we can go on, and probably I've named some of yours. You know why I've named them? Because they're ours. They're not just yours, they're ours. So fear is this thing that grips us, that has its worry, its fret, its stress. It causes just this unusual tension in us and through us. And in case you think that I think fear is not natural, I believe fear is a natural response. It is something that God has given to us, but when it's uncontrolled, when it's unmeasured by His presence, by His Holy Spirit, by His Word that guides us, it allows us to lose focus on faith. And faith is that supernatural response. It's that supernatural response that our hearts and our very lives cling to. It's that very thing that if you are in real water and you're thinking, I have this, but I need that, that's what your heart is looking for. Faith is this. It's that trust that if I were to be toppled by a wave, it would carry me. It is that belief that if I were to sit on this chair or if I were to use the life jacket, it would hold my weight. It is worth its weight. It is that confidence that you have that whatever will happen, that He'll do it again in your life. So turn on or turn in your Bible this morning to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. I hope that you have been doing the 90 days reading plan because you have just read this today. And I love that so much. Do you know how much a pastor loves having his congregation read where we're going and what we're going through? Because now you have this kind of plan in your head and your heart and your mind, and the Holy Spirit, not me, the Holy Spirit wants to do something great and wonderful in and through you and for you to the world around you through that. This is an incredible passage of Scripture, as you may have read, and if you didn't read, you realize that faith in this passage of Scripture has been set up by somebody who is outside, listen to me, outside of the Jewish belief system. It's a centurion earlier in the chapter who says, look, Jesus, I want you to heal my servant. What I find incredible about this story is he doesn't ask for his family, he's asking for his servant, of which is lesser on the scale, but he has a concern for his servant. And he says, Jesus, heal my servant. He says, I will come with you. Nah, don't come with me, because I know what kind of power, what kind of love, what kind of discipline that you have in your life. Because I know when I tell people to go and come and do whatever they need to do, that they will do those very things because of my position, because of who I am. And I recognize that in you. I recognize in Jesus, in you, Jesus, that that is who you are. And you know what Jesus says about him? There is no one in all of Israel with a faith like this man. Outside, not even one of his disciples. Now, what we do know about this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 8 is Jesus has been traveling with his companions, right? Just a brief period of time, but he's been traveling with his companions. We call them disciples. We call them followers, which that's what we are. They have been following him, and they're listening, but I don't think they're listening real well. I don't think they're observing too keenly. I think that's the way we are. That's the way I am. Things happen all around me all the time. There are these happenings of God that happen all around me all the time, and my eyes are tuned out, my ears are turned off. My heart at times can be just cold as ice. Not trying to sing a song. I mean, it can be. And so I get it. So we get into this passage of Scripture, and Jesus has been, the crowds want him. And as we see, not only in Matthew, we're going to see it in other places throughout the Gospels as we read this summer. Every time the crowds kind of want him, he kind of says, it's time to take a pause on that. It's time to step away from that. Do we understand it all the time? No, neither do the disciples. But he says, look, go get a boat. We're going to go to the other side. And while he's doing that, he has this little discourse with somebody who wants to follow him. And then we hit this passage of scripture here. He says, it says this, then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. Your life like that right now? But Jesus was sleeping. Do you know that if you read it, you know this, but if you didn't, and this is my way of kind of getting you into the scripture so you'll read it, do you know what he was talking to the person who wanted to follow him in the passage just ahead of what we're reading today? The guy said, hey, I want to follow you. He goes, okay. But I don't have a place to sleep. Bottom line, I don't have a place to sleep. I think that, this is what I told you last week, I think Jesus is funny. I think he's funny. And I think he teaches in this way. What do we find Jesus doing in this passage? He's sleeping. He just tells somebody, I don't have a place to lay my head, so I'm going to choose wherever I am and whatever situation I'm in. If I need the pause, I'm going to put a pause on. I'm going to take a nap. I'm going to teach a lesson too in the process. He's sleeping. My guess, as it is with me, whatever situation is crashing over your boat or whatever has toppled your, whatever wave has come is not causing you to sleep. Right? This is not. It's probably getting you to worry, to fret, and you have this unusual amount of stress. The disciples went and woke him shouting, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. Jesus responded, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm, and the disciples were amazed. Who is this man? They asked. Even the wind and the waves obey him. Even the wind and the waves obey him. There's several things that you can conclude from this passage of scripture, but this is where we want to land today. It's really the main point of it is that faith and fear do not cohabitate. Faith and fear do not cohabitate. I use the word cohabitate on purpose. It doesn't mean that you won't have fear where faith can speak into, but they won't sleep together. Yep, I said that. They won't do it. Can't. It won't work. So what is this thing called faith? Hebrews chapter 11 says it's this, and this is what causes us just some pause. It is this. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. Isn't that what causes us problems? Isn't that what causes us the pause in our advancement of faith? Isn't that what we want? Lord, if you would just tell me, just put it on the calendar that on this day you'll redeem my son. On this day we'll conceive and have a baby. On this day we'll be cancer free, or I'll even be home. I don't really care, but I just don't know. I don't know. He says, whoa, 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 whoa. This is where faith grows. This is where faith develops. This is where, when we step into it, when we face up to it, when we lean into it, this is where faith allows itself to develop and grow deep into us as followers of Jesus. So how do we do this? How do we navigate the waves that we know are coming? And if we're honest with ourselves, not only do we know that they're coming, but they're not just going to come for the neighbor. They're not just going to come for the coworker. They're not just going to come for a relative, a distant relative, that in some way, shape, or form, a wave of life will hit us. Why? Because of sin. I'm not saying your sin. I'm not saying it because of sin. Life is tough. So how do we navigate this? 2 Timothy 1:7, I believe, gives us three points to chew on, to develop in, and to identify with. It gives us 3 points that we can kind of like go, wait a second. And really, right off the top, we have to ask ourselves, who are we? Who are we? It says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and of self-discipline. Paul's telling Timothy, hey, to you and to everyone, look. God in you has given you power, love, and self-discipline. You don't have it on your own. You need to step in, lean in, and face the fear, whatever it may be, head on. Step into it. Listen to the Spirit. We have the opportunity to read the Word of God. Allow it to direct you. Don't allow your feelings, your perspective, your imagination of what the world looks like, because that's often what we do. I think it should look like this. Well, that's great, but Scripture says that it looks like this to be what it is. So Paul's telling him, look, the God who indwells you by the Holy Spirit, if you said yes to Jesus, if you said yes to Jesus and you obediently walk with him in life, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is not a byproduct, it is. Do you understand? It's not just a byproduct. It's not something we wait for. It's something we walk in, and we walk with him in that. So he says to Timothy, we have power. So if you're a follower today, can I just tell you that your identity is in Jesus Christ, given to you by the Holy Spirit? He's whispering into your ear right now, not me. He is whispering into your ear right now, you have power. You have power. You know why we know this? Acts 1:8 says this. But you, Jesus tells them this, say, wait for the Holy Spirit to come, right? We love this passage of Scripture. We love Pentecost. We celebrated just a few weeks ago with 4 baptisms, which demonstrates the power, the miraculous power to change people's lives and set them on course for him. But we love the Holy Spirit, and we know this is true because it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Can I just tap in here a little bit? Why do you have power? To be witnesses for Jesus, spoken and lived. To be witnesses for Jesus, both spoken and lived. So we have to rely on the Holy Spirit for that. That's really, the power comes through us going, here I am, here I surrender. Here I am, I surrender to you. Here I am. So when we worshiped just a few minutes ago, I don't know about you, but I had a few tears because there are places in my life where the Lord was kind of like, oh man, you, raise your hands, it's time to surrender again. Now that's not the only reason I raised my hands, but it's one of the reasons. It's one of the reasons I raise my hand is to kind of go with this visual cue of kind of like, okay, you got it. You got me. You got me. Take it. Take it. So we want the Holy Spirit to work in us. When we rely on the Holy Spirit, we can take heart because we are not fighting alone. Isn't that what we feel when a wave hits us? We're fighting alone. And he's like, no, you never fight alone. What came to my mind earlier was this word, I will never leave you. Isn't that what we want? I will never leave you. We fight the good fight of faith in God's power, not by focusing on fear and trying to defeat it in our own strength, but relying on God, knowing he is faithful. We have power. We have love. We have love. 1 John 4:18, I love this passage of Scripture. I hope you do too. There is no fear in love. Did I tell you that fear and faith don't cohabitate? They just don't. They can't. Because it's an antithesis to it. There's no fear in love, but perfect fear, or perfect love, excuse me, drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears is not made perfect in love. John 3:17, Jesus said, I did not come to condemn the world. I came to save the world. So when you feel condemnation, guess who it's coming from? And what pit of hell? Right? It's coming from the pit of hell. It's chasing after you for that. So why love? Because he is love. Jesus is love. God is love. And he's the greatest power of all. And when we spend time in his presence, guess what happens? When we spend time praising the Lord, undivided in our minds, undivided in our hearts, fear is eradicated, disintegrates. It just goes away, doesn't it? I mean, we've been there. We kind of all nerved up, and then we kind of, after worship, we kind of go, wow, where did it go? What happened to the, oh. Can I just tell you, if you didn't know, that's Jesus. That's Jesus meeting you right in your need, and you didn't think you had anything to praise the Lord for, right? Oh, man. We know God is for us, with us, and in us. And as we live in his love, he eradicates the fear that often makes us stumble. We have self-discipline in the passage of Scripture. And can I just tell you that this idea of self-discipline is really this idea of a sound mind. How many of you have been caught and captured in fear? Right? Your mind's become splintered, doesn't it? You lack the ability to follow through. You do. I do. I'm just caught in this cycle of fear, and all of a sudden now I'm like 2 hours have gone away and I'm not done anything except for worry, fret, stress. It's crazy. So we don't have this idea of, we don't have the self-discipline, we don't have the soundness of mind and heart that he wishes to give us. And the tool that we use to get that is just communication with him. It's just to be in prayer with him and say, you know, Lord, I give this to you. I want you to have this. I want you to take this. Philippians 4 through 7 says this, rejoice in the Lord always. I love how that starts, right? It's about the, when you get to the other parts of the verse, you kind of go, really? You got to start with rejoicing? It's kind of why we start with praising the Lord in the morning, you know, when we gather. It's kind of why we start our prayers. If you start your prayers with, Father, you are the greatest thing since whatever, right? Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. You know, I love this. This caught me when I was putting this in here. When I am stressed, when I'm fretting, when I'm worrying, you can just ask my wife, am I the gentlest person in the world? Not in the least. Can be like a bull in a china cabinet. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to do it on my own. Really trying to do it on my own, right? But do not be anxious about anything. Yeah, and Paul really did write that. He meant, look, the thing that's causing you anxiety, fear, worry, nah. Doesn't light a candle to God. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, again, I think that that's on there on purpose. When we remind ourselves of what he's done, and we want him to do it again, right? Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Right? So self-discipline, I believe, a part of what he's saying to us in this passage of Scripture is, do you have peace in your head? Do you have a peace about your relationships? Do you have a peace about your job? Do you have a peace about whatever it may be that's causing you fear? It's causing you anxiety. He wishes to kind of go, look. Remember what I did. Remember, I'll do it again. Remember what I did. Remember, I'll do it again. There is a spirit of fear. Paul acknowledges that in this passage of Scripture in Timothy. Paul tells us this, though, that every time fear attempts to get a grip on us, that is the enemy, Satan, devil, trying to take us down and question our identity in Jesus Christ as his follower, as his children. And he wants to just continue to pick away at our trust of him. Oh, you can't, don't give him that. Oh, don't, you gotta manage that. Don't trust him with that. We're not called to take on the fight with fear alone. We're called to rely on the Holy Spirit to take the fight to the fear and allow faith to flourish. I'm going to ask Greg and Kayla Palmateer to come up. We're going to have a little conversation this morning about their recent opportunity that they had to come against fear. So, Greg, Kayla, nice. Thanks for coming up. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
So, tell us what were the waves that you have that came against you recently, and yeah, just share with us what those may have been, what they are.
Well, for me, I guess about 2 years ago, I felt kind of God's leading to go into medicine and moved here to IPSC so that way I could have an opportunity to go to U of M for a program that they have. And God made a way for that program, but finances has kind of been a big wave for us. Right before getting into the program, we got a nice bill from the IRS, which pretty much took all our money away. And then about 48 hours later, we got an acceptance letter from U of M, and it's like, okay, well, this is a little different than we expected. So we kind of in faith went ahead and accepted, and I started going. But then came the question of, oh, well, we don't know if you're in-state. And so we were going through this process of filing for in-state tuition, which is a difference of about $50,000 or $70,000. So it's just a little bit of a hurdle. And it came time for the first day of classes, and we hadn't heard anything yet. And I was told, well, if you start classes and it comes back out of state, you're going to be asked to pay out of state. And it was a lot of prayer, a lot of kind of, okay, God, if this is really where you want us to be, then we're going to trust you. And so we went ahead and started classes, and a few weeks later, we got that it was in state. So God has been faithful and in that, for sure.
So let's encapsulate this. So you get an IRS notification you owe.
Yes.
All you had.
Yes.
Pretty much. Within a day, too, you then were able to get accepted to a program that was going to cost you about $50,000 to $70,000 more because they were considering you out of state.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay. No fear-inducing there, right? But you're kind of like, well, Lord, what are you doing, right? Okay, so continue. Yeah, there's more waves, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess I'll talk a little bit about some of the things that have been going on for me. I know people in our small group are really aware of the fact that I've been looking for a job as a teacher in one of the local school districts recently. Yeah. So there were, I think, 3 or 4 different opportunities where that came up, and then God very clearly shut the door in kind of obscure ways sometimes. And, I mean, it was hard for both of us. It was just, okay, you know, I feel like I'm supposed to be a teacher. I feel like I'm supposed to be in this area. And then similar kind of situation to what Greg was talking about, where I had just gotten a door shut and I'm like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing. And within about 48 hours, I got an email and a phone call, an interview and a job offer, all from IPSC schools. So I'll be teaching there this fall. And I feel like for me, that's the big part.
Yeah. So when you moved here, kind of on really kind of on this not sure plan, right?
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. So it's not just of recent, but it's kind of like this, okay, we feel this nudging of the Holy Spirit, especially in medicine, to go that way and follow that through. How do you, why?
Especially why?
If you're talking to a nerd.
Why
I would
medicine?
Add up the numbers and go, man, this doesn't work.
Yeah, I guess it was a kind of this battle, like, because I had just finished 4 years of school, and I start feeling this nudging to be a doctor, and if you don't know, being a doctor is a few years of schooling. So it was kind of a battle, like, okay, like, do I really want to go back to school for, like, 10 years? Yeah. And, like, all the money involved? And we just kind of said, okay, God, we'll just start making small steps, small commitments, put us in situations and make it clear. So I guess over the course of the last couple of years, I've taken positions in volunteering and jobs within the realm of medicine, and God has made it clear in those that, like, yeah, this is where I want you. So it hasn't just been, like, this one decision, like, okay, I'm going to go into medicine, and that's the end of it. It's been a lot of small choices along the way where God has kind of reaffirmed where that leading, that, I guess, that direction that he wants us to go towards.
Yeah. So how would you answer
I guess I would. So about, for those of you who don't know us very well, about a couple years ago, we were living in Texas, working in a national park with a ministry that's called a Christian ministry in the national park. So we were kind of getting away from everyone and everything that we knew, away from technology. This was not long after we had gotten married. And during that time, I feel like God really spoke into our lives as far as a direction for, specifically for Greg, that that medicine was the path for him to be pursuing and going toward. And also, I mean, for me too, because I didn't get my certification and stuff until after that. But it was during that time was when God really made clear to us kind of the big picture for both of our paths, and for at least for the next several years. And then kind of adding on to his, like, small steps. There's been many times where it's been kind of like, okay, we're going to do this little thing, and we're going to move here. We're going to apply for this program. We don't know if it's going to be, you know, we don't know if it's going to work out or not, but we're going to try for it. And, you know, if this is not God's will for us, then he will close the door. And if it is, then, you know, the path will be paved for us. And so far, yeah. I mean, we have doors shut and both.
Yeah. I think that that's pretty important to understand, is that as we follow Jesus, doesn't mean that the waves cease. We need to hear that life continues to roll, just as waves continue to roll. But we take the small, obedient steps, doing the very things that he is asking us to do, to step into the power of the Holy Spirit, to step into his love that moves through those places where fear then is eradicated by love, right? Because they can't cohabitate. And that you start to get this clarity. You get this clarity of your mind and your heart about where the Lord is leading you. God is faithful to us. He is always faithful to us. And he steps with us as we obediently step. I want to come back to you're connected to a group. Is that something that you've been doing since you've been here? I kind of know the answer to this one, but it's more.
So we were talking about this yesterday, about what are some of the things we should talk about as far as God's faithfulness. And the people here at the church was actually, all of you are one of the biggest things we feel like God has been faithful to us. Because at the time a year ago when we were coming down here, we were sick and tired of moving. We didn't really have a close group of friends for a long period of time. So us moving here was, as we were preparing to move here, we were praying that God would provide a community of Christians some close friends for us. So, yeah. And we've been involved in small groups since we moved here at the beginning of the summer. So our first small group we joined in last fall. So. Yeah.
So one, I do remember this vividly. I remember asking them, they went to Spring Arbor, Spring Arbor University. Asked them when they moved in the neighborhood. We had a membership class, and I remember saying, "Hey, do you want to come to the membership class?" And they're like, "Well, we're not really sure if we're going to be here too long." Can I just tell you, there's a few of us that have been praying for you to root yourselves here. I mean, we have been diligently praying that Lord just, you know, continues to unfold this, that we can become part of that story with you. Thank you for allowing us to do that. We're so grateful that you've not only sharing, but you're allowing us to participate in that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. You can leave right there. Their story kind of reminds me of a story that we're often kind of entranced by. We don't understand it. It's the story of the fiery furnace, Old Testament Daniel. And it kind of goes like this. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego kind of were put into a position where they had to bow before the king of Babylon and that area, and they chose to follow Jesus instead. They chose to follow Jesus instead, and because they chose to follow Jesus instead, the king gets a little upset. Follow God instead, I shouldn't say Jesus. Follow God instead. The king gets a little upset and says, let's torch them. Really, he says, let's build a furnace and let's toss them in. What I love is their response. Now, we all know the answer, maybe, if we've read it before, but I love their answer, and this has to do with I think this is kind of the resolve, the power, the love, the self-discipline that Paul is speaking about. He said, this is what they say when they respond to the king. Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he doesn't, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. I just recently walked through that with a couple of young men, and we just sat in that and went, whoa, what creates that kind of, we call it metal, that kind of, ooh, that says, you know what, no matter what, I'm going to follow God. No matter what, I'm going to follow God. Since we have the power and love and self-discipline through the Holy Spirit, we put into practice eradicating fear and growing our faith. That's what we do as believers. We put it into practice. I'm going to ask Bethany Ransford to come up, and she's going to share something that, well, is fearful. And I'm just going to let you know that after she gets done sharing, I'm going to invite you all to pray, not only for her, but I believe that many of you, just as she, just as I am, in places in my life, are caught where we're caught in fear. We're caught in fear where God wants faith to grow. So Bethany, tell us what you put a prayer request in a couple of weeks ago for us to pray about. And if some of you saw it, you maybe know what she's going to share. But tell us about that prayer request.
Yeah, about almost 3 years ago, I had to get brain surgery for just a condition that I was born with. And I was doing really good. And recently, I've just been experiencing a lot of symptoms that I had before I had my brain surgery. And a lot of setbacks that I had. And I, you know, I didn't want to call my doctor. I put it off. But I called my doctor. And, you know, she informed me that a lot of times you do need a second brain surgery, and that that's not uncommon. And the thing that is fearful for me is this brain surgery is a very painful thing. It's the second most painful surgery you can get. And it took me about a year to recover from the first one, and it was a very hard physically and mentally to get through that. So my fear would be that I would need another surgery, and that's just something that I don't want. So it's just a fear.
Yeah, we talked last Friday about this, and just about the fear that we would all have, right? I mean, we know that there's a surgery that we may need to get, and we dread. But what do we do with that? What do we do into that? How do we see those as opportunities to grow our faith? And I know we're talking with Bethany. She wants to grow her faith. She wants to step into it. What are some of the things we talked about this because we do this and we wanted to bring this up? What are some of the things that you're doing to kind of put it out of mind?
Yeah, some things that I'm doing would just be not trying to think about it, just ignoring it and pretending that it's not happening. But it's kind of hard to ignore something when you're having symptoms of a condition. So, you know, that would be one of the things that we talked about.
Getting up early, going fishing.
Yeah, that's another thing. Fishing a lot. Hey, I caught a huge bass, so I'm excited about that. But, that's another thing. Yeah, just trying to keep myself busy and occupied all the time.
Yeah, isn't that one of the things that we like to do? When fear comes on us, we then kind of, we dive in harder. We become, as I said earlier, I can become this, a bull in a china cabinet with, it's got to go, let's go, right? Kind of this frenetic activity, potentially. So we're going to pray for Bethany. But what about you? Really, what about you? What has gripped you? You see, fear can diminish our willingness to risk. See, and that's what Jesus has called us into. We talked about that last week a little bit, that when we lay a foundation, he wants us, that foundation for us to continue to risk on behalf of the kingdom. But when we have these fear-inducing events in our life, relationally, job, vocationally, health-wise, all of these things, they begin to then, they just layer upon layer in us and on us, don't they? And then we find ourselves in, at times, maybe not completely catatonic, but in certain parts of our heart, if we really were to take a picture, we would find ourselves numb, hardened. I used the word cold earlier. You see, when we do that, when we layer fear upon fear, we forget that we're called to dream. We forget that we're called to try it again. We're to believe afresh and anew. And instead of declaring, we question, right? Instead of standing, we shrink. Instead of persevering, we quit. Instead of trusting, we choose worry. And instead of resting in God, we exhaust ourselves to no end. Paul says this in Ephesians, and this is my prayer for us today. This is my prayer over Bethany today. I pray that out of his glorious riches, that he may strengthen you with his power of his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for me today. So, as we close out this message, there's no music to go with this. Right? We usually kind of play the music, but there's no music. But how many of you are caught in fear in some area of your life? You don't have to tell us what it is, but if there's some area of your life that you're caught in fear, that you know faith is not growing, that would be willing to step in and step up, receive prayer, and pray yourself for the faith that he wishes for you to have. How many of you are willing to join Bethany at the front? And Bethany, I'm going to ask you to step to the front. I know we have some that are going to come and lay their hands on you and pray with you this morning. Let's pray. And if that's for you, if that is for you to come forward, to receive prayer, to give prayer, we live in a community. If you heard Greg and Kayla at all, you heard that we live in a community that desires to, well, pray for one another and pray with each other. Father, we know you have made us into new creations. Our identity has changed.